It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Have you ever wanted to chat with a CIA analyst about how to spot propaganda campaigns, or maybe learn what it is like to be a real-life private investigator? I want you to check out Jordan Harbinger's podcast. He has an undeniable talent for getting his guests to share never-been-heard-before stories and thought-provoking insights. Check out Jordan's conversations with Thomas Erickson about how to protect yourself from psychopaths, or his chat with Renee DiResta on dismantling the disinformation machine. Without fail, he pulls out tactical bits of wisdom in each episode, all with the noble cause to make you a more informed, critical thinker to better operate in today's world. There is so much here. There's just so much here. You can't go wrong with adding the Jordan Harbinger Show to your rotation. It is incredibly interesting. There is never a dull show. Search for the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Hello. I have never been more happy to say this phrase, but it is a good day for justice. Alec Murdoch has finally been held accountable for his actions. He will spend the rest of his life in prison for what he did to Maggie and what he did to Paul on June 7th, 2021. And I cannot say this enough. That is a big deal. We've said this a lot, but this was never just a murder case. We wanted justice for Maggie and Paul. We also wanted justice for the South Carolina justice system to show that it had the resolve to go up against money and power. Too often, people like Alec Murdoch have been able to use their influence to talk their way out of crimes they are suspected of committing. Over time, they have effectively created their own justice system, one largely reserved for wealthy white men. After Alec was sentenced Friday, Liz, Eric, and I went back to the Justice Mobile in Walterboro to talk about everything we were feeling and thinking about the trial. The last 48 hours before the trial ended were such an emotional roller coaster for all of us. I really wanted to share with y'all what it was like in the final moments before we packed up and left Walterboro. So today's episode is a little different. It's basically a raw version of the three of us just hanging out and taking it all in. At the end of the episode, you'll hear us get a visit from Scott Grooms, the City of Walterboro's Director of Tourism and Downtown, who served as a court liaison to the media, and he stopped by to say goodbye. This conversation got emotional. There were tears from all three of us, but we all did our best to keep it together. I am so excited to share this episode with you, so let's get into it.
Liz, you want to start?
Do we say cups up or do we say cuffs up, guys?
I like cuffs up. That's funny.
Who came up with cuffs up? Was it somebody on the thread?
Somebody on YouTube.
That's amazing. Cuffs up.
When Alex put his...
Wait, when did he put his cuffs up? I didn't see that.
Well, maybe he didn't.
That was very, like, a movie.
I don't know what really happened.
He doesn't get to do the sport coat over his hands anymore.
No, he had to wear that outfit. He had a onesie on today, which...
Terrible color for him, too.
Terrible.
I've always wanted to ski in a onesie.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
Because they have onesie. They have these real flamboyant colored onesies that are from like the 70s and 80s
Don't
that people
it,
wear on ski days. They're purple, yellow, whatever. And when you ride up on a lift, you'll say, hey, he's got a onesie on or she's got a onesie.
Nice. You know who's never going skiing again?
Alex.
Alec Murdoch.
Yeah.
Yeah, the murderer. It was pretty crazy today.
Remember I used to call him a serial penciler? Now I can call him a serial murderer.
Oh, my God.
Can't
not yet.
Him?
Not
I
yet.
Think, which is two.
He killed two people.
It has to be three, right?
Is there a thing? Is there a rule?
I don't know. I think
yeah, so we're going to have to look that one up.
But we can't say murderer. That is...
Yeah, he's a murderer.
Doesn't it feel so free? It feels like we've been sort of weighed down by the if he did it or the alleged. Now he's just a free and clear murderer.
Because we're professionals and we've made a lot of opinions and we've brought a lot of people with us through education and we didn't want to let people down a primrose path. And we were so wrong. I mean, if the jury came back in 3 hours and it was not guilty, I would have gulped and said, wow, did I read this so wrong? But it turns out that, you know, there's no substitute for good education like we've done over the past 2 years. I felt like we knew so much more at times than even Dick or the prosecution knew in a way, because we were able to filter it to really and distill it to good, hard evidence. And, you know, we've made a lot of forecasting, and certainly over the last month I got on TV and every day I'm like, I think the prosecution's done amazing. I think Creighton had a great cross, or Savannah did a great job with
this. Do you feel vindicated right now by all the TV pundits that were
wrong, dead wrong?
Yeah, I mean, there was, I'm not going to name
them. Don't mince words.
I'm not going to name them.
Don't
name
them.
There were a couple that made...
Has anyone said, like...
Yes, last night Chris Cuomo said to one of those people... you know, Eric Bland was obviously right and you didn't call it right. And that person did exactly what Dick did. Well, the jury got it wrong. It was so easy, case to defend. And the judge was on the prosecution side, all the normal trope that you hear when people lose.
Did you hear Dick today in the press conference? I didn't hear this, but somebody told me, cause it was really hard to hear if you were in person, which we were, that they still believe he's more innocent than ever?
Not only is he more innocent than ever, the family believes that he's more innocent. They think that today he's more, they believe in his innocence more than they did yesterday. No, and John Medder's closing argument where he said that Paul testified by his recording, so it was an insurance policy that his dad wouldn't lie against him about being at Kendall's. It's a problem because it's not only that the jury told them that they were wrong, not only, and we'll talk about Judge Newman's sentencing, the way that he almost took off his robe and talked to him man to man, like a man would talk to another man. But I have not met in the last 6 weeks, not one person who has said, Alex is innocent. Met a lot of people that said, I believe he did it, but I don't believe the government is meeting their burden. And that's fine. That's an intellectually honest opinion. But how is it that Dick, Jim, and that table, and then just Lynn, John Marvin, and Buster, I don't know about Randolph because he wasn't at the trial enough, which makes me believe that either he had some questions or was worried about the visual of him being there.
Can I go back to something you just said, though? You said that was an intellectually honest thing. When somebody says, I think he did it, but the state hasn't met their burden, what makes them think he did it if the state didn't meet their burden?
Well, I mean, I guess... they wanted more, you know, people confuse circumstantial and direct evidence, and we've said it time and again. They're absolutely equal. Mm-hmm. One circumstantial piece of evidence is just as good as if Mandy saw the murder. And even the judge reiterated that in the jury charge. But I think people feel like it's Diet Coke as opposed to full Coke, that they look at direct evidence being a Coke, and somehow circumstantial evidence is Diet Coke kind of in a way.
Because I think men throughout history have used circumstantial evidence argument as I didn't cheat on my wife. So, right.
Because you knew your lying eyes. Right. You never saw me in bed with her.
You smell like perfume, though.
Right. So we've been gaslit into thinking that circumstantial isn't as good as direct. But that has baffled me throughout this, is the people that say I think he did it, but
I think he'll be found. I think he'll be found not guilty. But I heard that a lot. The state hasn't convinced me yet, and it's like, but why do you think he's guilty then? What led you to believe that he's guilty? Because that is the state probably convincing you through evidence.
You're just pulling it out of thin air.
And I think a lot of people don't understand that a lot of murder cases are circumstantial evidence. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
I would venture to guess. All of them, because otherwise it's them arguing self-defense because, they have a plea, right?
Yeah.
Because
if there's a video of you doing the murder, then...
you got to come up with an excuse.
When you get convicted...
Like I was at the kennels.
Judges are people.
Mm-hmm.
yes, they wear the robe and we look at them and they're quiet and they don't have a lot of friends. They have to eat lunch by themselves, or they eat lunch with a 24-year-old law clerk and he's 72 years old. Every lawyer is afraid to walk near a judge.
I would eat lunch with Judge Newman every day for the rest of my life.
You would. But appellate court judges, don't forget, appellate court judges are parents and they're people too. And they want to see some humanity, and the decisions that have been made by Dick and Jim at that sentencing were mind-numbing to me.
At the sentencing?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Because you have to tell your client, here's how you have to navigate what you say. You have a right to say you're not guilty of this crime.
You're talking about when the judge is like, do you have anything to say?
You have to humanize yourself, because there's an appellate court that's going to look at your case and they're going to want to know that you have some contrition for making the state try this case, that you have some contrition for lying that you've already admitted to law enforcement, that you have some contrition for lying to your family.
We talked about this about Russell Lafitte. Right, that he's going to have to show some contrition when his sentencing time comes, assuming he doesn't get a new trial.
Yeah, like I feel, you know, I let Paul down. He could have looked back and he could have said, I let Paul down, I let Maggie down. But Buster, I let you down. I lied to you and I'm going to have to live with that. Something to humanize, but he was strident. I am innocent. And judge gave him a number of chances to say, well, do you want to say anything else? And then you saw the judge take off his robe and become a lawyer and say, you disgraced my profession. You lied, you stole, you took an oath. You were in a position of power and prominence and you abused it. And you were a law enforcement officer. And oh, by the way, I don't like how you tore in the law enforcement for the last 6 weeks. And that is a direct reflection on counsel not properly educating their client. And the appellate courts are going to take notice of that. We'll talk about what his chances are going to be on appeal. But they will not, they read that transcript.
They don't need to read the transcript. I'm sure they've all been watching.
Oh, there you go.
Right. This is going to be the shortest appeal in history.
No, it's actually, we were talking about it. So do you think he's going to get that benefit of the doubt to get it heard quickly like this trial was? Mandy and I think that the system is done giving him special and Dick special treatment. They're going to let it sit and simmer on a back burner for a long time.
That would be great. You know, Alec couldn't articulate past, I'm innocent, I would never hurt. You know, he was reciting it. It was a recitation, because that's all he would have had to say back in the day.
Now, today was the first day he said the word innocent. Never said it at trial. He said, I didn't do
it. I know you like that. I didn't do it.
Well, I don't like the word I never would intentionally shoot or hurt my kids.
A lot. And people on Twitter were pointing this out, and I don't know if it's his internal, we talk about family annihilator, and that's like kind of what we have come to the conclusion that Alex was. Chris Watts, when he confessed to killing his children in Colorado, he used the word hurt. I didn't want to hurt them. I think to Alex, in his weird, bizarre mind, I think that he believed saving them from the disgrace of the downfall of reveal. I don't know.
Saving Paul from going to jail for 20 years was...
Yeah, maybe that.
Well, he was never going to go to prison for 20. I mean, like maybe five, but one day would have been too much.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think the mothers
against...
I think
you can talk a big game about what they would have done,
but
they didn't
hard,
do
yeah.
it. They didn't do it.
But you got to believe what they've done. Creighton Waters, and I was a massive critic of him and a massive critic of Alan Wilson. Creighton told me in October, Eric, October of 2021, please have patience. We are going to see this through to the end. And he told me on that lawn right before he sat down in the chair that I got out of interviewing with Nancy Grace, he said to me, we're full speed ahead. Satterfield case is first
up. That just got me right.
And Judge Newman, I thought, you know, Judge Newman, let him know, I have 99 of your cases and I am going to schedule them immediately. And that's the foot that Judge Newman wants to keep on his throat. And if Dick was reading the tea leaves, he should have read it since October 21 when I argued bond and he turned him down on a bond on a financial crime. Judge Newman has never wavered in Hallie's sending messages to the defense.
No, it was wonderful. But I want to say again that his lack of articulating today of, you know, the no, sorry, no, anything, just the two sentences he said, I didn't do it, whatever he said, he's never had to say more. So in his entire existence and his family's entire existence, all they have to say is, I didn't do it. And then the world around them says, he didn't do it. So he doesn't know how to do any of that other stuff, which is appeal to the judge in terms of showing that he's sorry or confess. He just doesn't know how to do any of that.
He said pawpaw again.
Yeah, that was a real kick in the butt. I was like,
twice he said it.
You know, pawpaw. We're done with that, right?
But Maggie,
you were found guilty and you don't get to say anymore.
He didn't call Maggie Megs. He called her Maggie and pawpaw.
Yeah.
The thing that I like the most about what Judge Newman did is I felt like there was a vibration coming from him. And I think that he scooped out Alec's insides slowly and in front of everyone. And then he showed them to him. And I think that there was something that was coming from history through the floorboards in that courtroom. Because when Newman started talking about the 100-year history of Murdoch's in that courtroom, and he started talking about the death penalty, and all of us, well, we were in silence in here because we're like, can he change this and do a death penalty right now?
I know, he looked like, I want to.
Well, he did. So I think what he was saying is, because the state didn't, but I would've.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And I love that. But we know that this is a historical courtroom. People of color entered through the bottom. White people entered through the top. There's Jim Crow. There's segregation. This happened at that courthouse. Additionally, Buster Murdoch put away people that no doubt were not guilty. So Judge Newman, it just felt like this moment where he was like, all this history of this area and just sort of this dark, evil spirit that I think is sort of underneath all of this, and then you have this fiefdom rule of the Murdochs. All of that was coming through the floorboards, and it was,
well,
this black man here now gets to tell the grandson of Buster Murdoch how it's going to be. The power dynamic shifted in that moment.
We couldn't have asked for a better result for the change that all three of us want in this podcast, and that result was a resounding zero question. Incredibly guilty. He's incredibly guilty. Like the jury said, we find you incredibly guilty. They just didn't find him guilty. They found him incredibly guilty. And what it did is it took the mystique away from the Murdoch's forever. Look, the judge was mad. He, you know what made him mad? That he had to take down portraits of solicitors. You disgraced your family so much that I was forced to dishonor them and take their portraits off the wall. I now feel that I can stand up. I always would stand up to a Murdoch. Obviously, I sued him. But there still was a fear in me of, is there going to be retribution from different people? Today, I don't feel that retribution. I feel there's whoever may be mad at us or voice their opposition to us on social media, they are a small, small minority. And that Murdoch mystique is not there anymore. I'll walk down Hampton and I won't be scared anymore.
So guys, in the courtroom today, the Beach family was there. And
why? Why do you think they were there?
I actually don't know. What do you think?
Mandy?
I mean, they never got their time. Because Alex took away their ability to get justice in the criminal court. So
I also think that their civil case, like a lot of it was driven by
their... Their civil case was the reason why...
Yeah, it was personal, but it was personal for them in the sense that Alec never gave them the respect of they lost a daughter. He tried to make everything okay, pave over it, and let's do this quickly.
And no accountability.
I think they were saying, you're a bad parent. You parented Paul so bad that kid killed my daughter. And if you would have parented him properly, properly given him boundaries, properly addressed some of the personal problems that you said he suffered from, then maybe my daughter would be alive. Maybe he would have exercised better judgment than he did. So maybe they were there to say you were responsible in a big kind of way for what happened to my daughter.
The Beaches were in a grocery store, and Murdoch and Alec came up to them, and because of his attitude toward before the lawsuit really amped up, I think that casual attitude and that sort of this is all going to be done soon and over with and what have you, That's what led them to say, this guy's not going to change. They're going to keep doing this with Paul. Everything's going to stay the same. And we're going to, so we want accountability. We want punitive damages, right? Today, John Marvin made it a point to go up to Philip Beach in a courtroom where his brother just was found guilty of killing his sister-in-law and his favorite nephew, I'd venture to guess. Like, they're not over, Eric. That's what I'm saying. The Murdochs are not smaller. They're not over. This is just, to me, this is just, they're regenerative. They don't go away.
They lost
They're going to work harder at getting
that. Are they a cockroach? Is that what you just said? They're a cockroach that survives a nuclear war?
Maybe it's worse than a cockroach. I think they're like a Terminator type situation.
Oh, really? They have the arm that still goes? We have one arm and it can regenerate into a big T-24? I think what we saw is pervading in the court was stench of privilege and power. It was just the stench, this 6 weeks of stench, the way Alex conducted himself in court offended me as a lawyer, the way that Dick Harpootlian denigrated women and denigrated sometimes with his sarcasm the solemnness of a court proceeding was stench and power. The way the Murdaughs walked into court was stench and power for me, was the power and privilege. And then they get moved back and they're mad that they get moved back because they broke the rules and
they don't apply.
I just feel like that I don't see that power and privilege anymore, but you're down here, so maybe you're right and I'm wrong.
Oh, I think that John Marvin going up to Philip Beach shows you exactly what they think they are still.
The gall.
Yeah, the gall. And the fact gall. That they think he's still innocent.
But he's not a lawyer. He can't control the legal system.
But he acts like a...
He's not a lawyer. He can't control the legal system. The guy who called...
Sled and...
Greg like, Alexander. Yeah, he's on the phone with DNR all the time.
Do you think that Sled is going to answer the phone call for Dick Harpootlian or the Murdaughs anymore?
I wish... Let's try it. Let's call their operator right now and say that we're at Dick's office and see if they take
the
call.
You heard the judge say, I don't like the way you treated Sled. Not law enforcement. He used the word sled for the last 6 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and it was. I mean, it up until the dismissal of the last juror, Dick was saying, like, Sled took part in this investigation, and we all know how. He was blaming that on Sled.
Did you see the way history repeated itself? The Lafitte ending was the same way as the Myrtle ending.
Not quite.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We had the narcissism of, let me state it. The narcissism of Russell doing Russell TV and testifying and not being contrite in his testimony. Alex being narcissistic, thinking that he can win over the jury, not being apologetic and answering every question with the question to confuse the cross-examiner. Then we have the jury go out. We have some jury problems. We lose a juror right before. That Russell lost two juries, and then once you finally had a seated jury, Russell's verdict was in 40 minutes. This was in 3 hours. So I consider
deliberations hadn't started before they were.
I got it, but they were so quick in terms of the rightful juries reaching a decision.
We'll be right back.
The indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. So what's the solution? Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so that your lungs don't have to. We have seasonal allergies, and it feels like there is no place to hide. But now, we can breathe easy thanks to Air Doctor. And it is so quiet, we even put one in the studio. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code COJ and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code COJ.
As y'all know, we're out on the West Coast connecting with fans, meeting with partners, and having a little fun too. All the planes, trains, and automobiles can be stressful, but do you know what's going to keep me comfy and confident along the way? You guessed it, Vuori. And Vuori makes a fantastic gift for the people in your life who deserve the most comfortable and versatile clothing. Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. Get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/COJ. That's Vuori.com/COJ. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/COJ and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
And Judge Newman today called him a monster.
Yeah, he did. That's what amazing. Was the quote? I don't think you did it.
You
think,
might have not
yeah,
done it.
Yeah, you might not have done it.
But the monster that you became.
So oof, did Judge, it. Newman, so did Judge Newman take this so personal about the killing of Paul because he just lost his son? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, and I want to be completely clear about this. I think that Judge Newman would have given him that sentence no matter what. Like, it's not like it's a personal vendetta.
What if he said, "I'll give you 50 years instead of life"? Could there been a speech that Alex could have given that Judge Newman would have said, "I'll give you 50 years because it's 32 life"? What if he said, "I won't give you life without parole. I'll give you 50 years"? Is there something that could have been said today by Alex that could have resonated, or you're saying he was getting that sentence no matter what?
Well, because Alex is a narcissist, so he's used to talking his way out of situations. So it was kind of bizarre to me that he said what he said, because you would think that he would try, that's like, true. One last time.
Judge gave it to him twice to say it, by the
right.
way.
Right. And I think it's like,
look, man, I think he would have given him the death penalty, like we said.
So I do too. I think he would have. Yeah, no matter what, no matter if his son died or not,
exactly.
I think he sees him as a monster and he sees him as a horrific human being. I think he was so disgusted with the 2 days of testimonies and lies and lies and lies. And
what we've got to be careful of is not let this be the end of the story. I don't want the public to say, well, we cleaned up the system. We just tried somebody of privilege and power, and we've shown that the system is correct and that it's right and it's proper and there's no more corruption. I think we have to be vigilant and say, no, this just was the start. This is the start. We have to continue to see this through because, yes, I think as far as Alex, you know, it's Andy Dufresne a little bit. You know, we went through 500 yards of sewage and we're coming out clean today. I mean, I feel like amazing. I mean, I feel amazing. I feel like I gave of myself at high risk to my professional life. I sacrificed a lot in my personal life. You girls have sacrificed so much personally with your journalism, giving up a lot of your written journalism to do this. And a lot of people that look at you, wow, you're really taking a strident stance against this. Why are you so strident? But I feel like we were right. What do you feel? What do you feel inside? What do you feel, Mandy? Honestly, tell me. You feel happy, sad, bittersweet, vindicated, all the above?
I think vindicated is probably the best word. Relieved, especially because I was just mentally preparing myself for weeks for a hung jury.
But I was telling you that I thought a hung jury is a win because we took the system was taken on. The state took their best swing. I would have viewed a not guilty verdict as a real loss.
Yeah.
But a hung jury, I'd look at it like it's a win.
Yeah.
But you don't agree with that. You want to hear the ultimate irony? Do you know what Lynn does for a living? She's a victim.
Let's talk more about that, actually, because
on the show,
these people took 6 weeks
off. Because she
did
not have any compassion at that trial at all, the way she wore her face.
Mm-mm. And the way that she acted, I mean, she acted like a mean girl. But I mean, I think that what's so horrifying is that, like, how did she get 6 weeks off of work? Like, and she works for the government. She works for us. Like, is she getting special privileges? And yeah. Buster's girlfriend is a lawyer. How did she get 6 weeks off of work?
How do people get back to their lives from this? That's a question I have. I see the people in the courthouse and I see people that have been here for 6 weeks, lovely lady from up north that we just spoke with, and other people that have come a couple times from Atlanta, as far away as Florida and Maryland. And, you know, on our stream, people are so invested in this. And I always said our stream is so educated that I'm learning so much. And it's true. From that trial stream, I send so many things to Creighton Waters, and he welcomed every one of them and responded to everyone, would say, yeah, I like that, or I'm not sure about that. He read every one of them. How do we clear ourselves of this?
They know that there's more to do.
Yeah, there's so much more to do.
Do we want people to relax a little bit, to enjoy this? Is it the Nick Saban rule? You know what the Nick Saban rule is. You get 24 hours to enjoy your championship, and then it's back to work. So are we going to take 24 hours?
I think 48 would be preferable. Okay. Yeah, maybe a 72.
72 would be nice.
Yeah, like a 72 it would.
Yeah, but you got to do an episode on Tuesday. So that is that the 72?
That's going to write itself,
yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, but as far as like the real work of like having a tip, calling people, investigating it, figuring out what's going on, that is going to happen. That's all got to start happening again.
I'm excited to get back to it, to be honest with you, because I was saying to Mark Tinsley earlier, I think it was him anyway. No, it wasn't him. It was other people. I was saying that the number one thing for me right now is that I might not ever have to hear his voice again, Alec's voice, which is just, I welcome that because I think that was the worst part for me. Let's do worst and best, actually. Worst part for me was having to hear Alec's voice and then getting the sort of encore of John Marvin's voice. Best for me was Creighton Waters' face at the press conference when he just stood there beaming. And I've never seen a look like that manifest on someone's face so perfectly. Like it was as if somebody drew his face. Like if you had to draw the combination of pride and like happy joy and relief, and just it looked like he had just climbed a mountain, and it was like a personal goal that he had or something. Like
he's not a murder lawyer who beat two lawyers that specialize in murder cases. This is a guy that does statewide grand jury, that's these unwieldy financial cases. He just beat a pitcher that throws 110-mile fastballs. He just hit a grand slam. He beat Dick Harpootlian and Jim Griffin. These are murder lawyers.
He didn't just beat them. He exhausted them. He completely exhausted them. And it got to the point where Jim couldn't, I mean, the lies that Alec told were such a, what's that string art, like the murder board with all the strings, that Jim couldn't make anything out of it. What do you do? Like, I can't keep track of what you said was true and not true. And what now? He was going to mess up. He had to be so careful because he was going to mess up.
So your best was?
My best was Creighton's face, because I love it when people can do their job well and beyond, like, you know, Red Sox 2004. Like, I love that moment where it's just like these people have worked so hard. But on top of that, it was just like he was surrounded by a dozen people, but it wasn't a dozen people for him. He was alone in that accomplishment for that moment. And it just reminded me of like, if you went on a walk about by yourself, or if you did the Appalachian Trail by yourself, or there's like a personal moment of glory where you didn't know, you thought you might be able to do it. You didn't know. People don't actually know the struggles that he went through to get to where he was. Right. And that, no, I'm just saying that no, yeah. He has an internal, yeah. There's the things that you cannot possibly know that Creighton went through. You just don't, you can't possibly know what he went through. Those kinds of things, like hanging off a mountain cliff and having to save himself, seeing like a mountain lion come out of nowhere and having to defend himself. Like, that was a one-man battle. I know he had a team, and I think they did great, great work, but it was that look on his face. I thought that was the most amazing thing.
It was personal. Yeah,
it's personal.
His father was an extremely accomplished corporate lawyer at a very impressive white shoe law firm.
His father is adorable.
Creighton didn't follow in his father's footsteps. He went the criminal route to the government. So watching his father there, and I represented his father when he separated from his law firm and helped him with his retirement from the practice at the time. I never saw a father as proud. He was beaming at that closing argument.
What a dichotomy. You have one father who killed his son, yeah, and you have the other one who came to watch his son.
What's your worst and best?
Best was And this is so weird because I'm not an Alan Wilson fan by any means.
What are you about
to
say?
No, I know. But watching all of them, I didn't listen to the press conference. I was on the phone. So I still haven't been able to unpack all of it. But watching all of them symbolically stand up with so much pride was a huge moment for me because it's like, this is our system actually standing up for itself. And this is our system. And this is showing other politicians, hey, if I get on those people's sides, everybody's going to be, because they all look like rock stars right
now. Exactly. Like, right. Look like a gubernatorial candidate in 2026.
Right. And like, and you know,
fine.
Political views aside, he did a great job in this trial, and that is what he's supposed
to do. He did. His questioned Dr. Kinsey, who, by the way, did you guys see him today?
Yeah, he's giving it. He's
was
giving
that
it
not? He was one of my favorite people to see.
Apparently, a couple.
Thanked us for what we did, by the way. All three of us. He said, "This we wouldn't be here, but for you three.
I would love to have him on the show.
Yes, he told me to call him so I can get him.
That would be great.
He'll come on the show.
Let's get him. I have like a list of a few really.
Like Cheryl Crow. Like, let's make sure we're working. Cheryl
Shout
Crow.
Out to Cheryl Crow. Thank you.
You guys don't know because you're younger. You're a boy. Cheryl Crow was my college. Like, that was auto repeat CD. That was, I ordered
it's a
that
great album.
BMG Records and went into debt for it. Like, that is.
You know what? Renee said, what a wrong. She said something to them this morning in the kitchen, like, what a winding road you've taken. And I said, that's Sheryl Crow, hon. And isn't that funny with Sheryl Crow last night sending us the shout out? I said, honey, you just said Sheryl Crow. How can this not be perfect? So what's your worst moment?
Great. Oh, man. Sheryl Crow's definitely on the top of good ones. I think the worst has been being more aware of all these awful people out there. Like, there were, I got into my own head a few times during the case of and getting, you know, crap from people online and just seeing people. I think it was just really, really disappointing to me and hurtful to see how much people were bending themselves into pretzels to come up with a scenario that Alex didn't do this. Like, and that, again, was a sign that, like, we have a long way to go as a society. If, like, we can't just accept that this man is a monster because he doesn't look like a monster, quote unquote. And that was just making me really upset. And I had a few just really dark and scared. I was terrified that, like, I mean, there was a few times when it felt like most of us were alone and like rooting for the prosecution. Like,
yeah, Mandy, you and I actually had a conversation where I said, what will happen if there's a not guilty verdict? What do we do?
Right. I had one with Justin Bamberg. I had one with Liz. Like, it's.
It was up the car in the middle.
Right. I know.
I was like, going to leave the state immediately. I'm not even kidding. Like, it sounds dramatic, but I was going to get out of here because it just. And that means there's no hope.
And it would have been depressing. Mm-hmm. Like, living here would have been extremely depressing. And just like, I can do so much and then do nothing at the same time because nobody cares.
I'm really tired, so I'm going to get emotional. But like, what you just said with like the state standing out there and then even Sled seeing, did you see Sled, seeing Sled go out there? And like, it just, sometimes people need to understand that they can be heroes in order to be heroes. And so I want, like we said, more of that. I want, you know, it's not that I'm not pro-government, but like, I am very suspicious of government on a daily basis. But this just instilled so much faith. The fact that they wanted to have those press conferences and just celebrate themselves, celebrate each other. And I just think that that gave me the most hope. So not only was he incredibly guilty, not just guilty, like we hoped for hung. We got incredibly guilty. We got the most guilty that you could possibly be. You are the most guilty. So there's that. And then we got the state
shining.
Just like,
yeah.
Sort of just like they're on
in front of the
level
world.
For me.
In front of the world. Yeah.
I was super proud to be from, like, not from South Carolina, I'm from Boston, but I was super proud to live in South Carolina.
I talked last night about the importance of soil. We're on the soil here. We're in the South Carolina soil and we understand the South Carolina soil and all these national people that are talking about our state and think that they know what the court should do and what juries should do here. And I kept telling them, guys, have you ever been to South Carolina? Do you know the soil? Do you know that there's jurors that shoot guns that know that a shotgun blast travels 2 miles or a 300 blackout sound will travel 3 miles? I said, you know, you have to feel the soil, kind of like, you know, the gladiator does before he, you know, fights the lions. So for me, you know, part of the problem I always have on this podcast, and I have when I'm on the stream, the trial stream, is I'm a lawyer. So I look at the performance, and the sad part for me was what the defense did to tear down our system. Just totally annihilated SLED in an unkind way. Like I said, there's never a crime scene that's going to be perfect. It could always be better. But this crime scene, if it was pristine and done by Henry Lee and Cyril Weck, would have still been criticized.
So do you think that so Dick and Jim had a press conference they were supposed to be at 11:45 this morning, and they kept pushing it back, pushing it back. It was supposed to be at 12:20?
No, they showed up at 12:20.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they were late, wicked late. And on top of that, I felt like everyone should turn their backs on them. And I'm not saying that, like, I have respect for what they do. I just don't respect how they did it.
So that would have been our way of kneeling for the national anthem.
Yeah.
I went to the food trucks. So.
Yeah, I went and talked to Mark and Stephanie.
I turned my back.
Yeah.
The worst for me was the incredibly shrinking Dick Harpootlian through this trial. He came in like a lion. He went out like not seeing him do the closing argument, seeing his sarcasm go flat.
He was flaccid, I agree.
And seeing those antiquated trial skills that worked for a long time with a lot of juries and a lot of judges really not resonate with modern technology, modern juries, modern reporting, and just watching him shrink.
What do you think about Jim?
Well, you know how I feel about Jim.
Can we save Jim's soul?
I've given him a lot of compliments, and I got a lot of grief for that, not only on our stream.
Well, now, how do you feel about
him? But I look at him from a lawyer standpoint. He was an incredible lawyer. I'm just telling you. What that kid had to do in this trial, because he had a partner that wasn't rowing the boat. Dick was not rowing the boat. Jim had to prepare cross-examinations, listen to testimony, think about the witnesses, make legal arguments, do all the legal research, write every night. Dick wasn't doing that. He was a lawyer. And I look at him from a legal lawyer standpoint, and he fought. And I respect that. Now, I think he blurred the lines of professionalism with a personal relationship with these people, and you saw the conflict at times where he felt like, oh my God, am I representing a guilty man? So for me, those were the worst times for me. The best time was Judge Newman. The best time was our state, Walter Burrow, what we look like to the trial of the century. Judge Newman wasn't Lance Ito.
He's the American judge right now. Like, he's
like a hero.
America's judge.
He didn't become the story. He stayed back like a judge does and let the case go. The law enforcement protection, we had no incidents here, no riots like there was in L.A. People got along. Yes, there's differences of opinion.
Can you imagine a riot over Alec Murdoch?
Well, just differences.
No, he's innocent.
But what I'm saying is,
if it was not guilty, yeah, they might have been
to watch the government fight for Maggie and Paul when nobody else was fighting for
that's me. Exactly right.
For me, that was the best of it. So the worst of it was watching a lawyer that had a tremendous reputation watch it kind of whittle away to nothing. And then, you know, see Jim Griffin give everything. I mean, you're talking about, I'm like a basketball coach. I got to appreciate Allen Iverson's skills, even though I don't think he's a good team player. I'm not going to put him on my team, but he is. I'd rather have a Larry Bird. But as a coach, I'm looking at Iverson saying, man, what talent. I saw that in Jim Griffin.
Well, beyond that, he did a service for us because Alec got a really good defense. I think that there's it's very little room for people to say that he got done wrong. I know that people still say it, but they did their best for him.
Alex was a bad client.
Yeah, I mean, he delivered them a plate of spaghetti with messy, watery sauce.
Right. And he just kept making it worse. He kept adding random ingredients.
My close second best was the growth of so many different attorneys at that trial. Savannah, younger attorneys on the state side, Fernandez
was awesome.
He did such a great job.
And then even Maggie Fox, I felt like she was so underutilized.
I feel like they should have used
her. They should have used her a lot more.
So she was. But Judge Newman's the star of the play.
Yeah, and I
never heard a bad word except that he's too liberal. No, he's liberal with his rulings. But
and there are a lot of trolls.
There was a troll. Yes,
that made it personal.
Well, that I swear that there was a troll army who...
Can you explain that, though?
Are you saying bots or are you saying trolls? Yes. What are bots?
This is what she's learned, and it's really important because it changes a lot of things for me.
What are bots? Are they robotic or are they real people?
They are robotic, but they are basically... How can I even explain?
It's a service you can pay for.
It's a service that PR companies can pay for, and you can say...
And they do have a PR company.
And there's an algorithm that releases stuff during the day at night?
So today you can say that Eric Bland made Liz crazy.
Oh.
And so they will say that in a bunch of different ways in a bunch of different tweets. And
does somebody have to write the tweets or does a computer write the tweets?
It's an algorithm. But anyways, this one day I was really noticing it with Judge Newman because for the rest of trial, all of a sudden, all of these really weird accounts were saying stuff about Judge Newman. And that is something that the defense wanted, is that people to think that Judge Newman was against them.
Right.
So they can sway public opinion but by deploying these bots. I don't know if they did, but it's possible.
Did it scare you when I was on TV and all these dick accolades are out there, all his sycophants are out there, salting the earth that they're killing and doing a great job? Did you think that was going to get to the jury? Did that bother you?
That's like asking me if I'm scared of a nursing home that went rogue. No, I'm not. Like,
so just these people constantly talking on TV?
They have nothing.
They've been wrong this entire time.
But it's just, they're not going to hurt me. I don't care. Like,
you don't think that the husbands of these jurors or the wives of these jurors who are listening to it may say it to them at night? You know, honey, everybody's out there on CNN saying, the government's doing a horrible job or Dick is killing.
I'm going to say no. And my proof of that is guilty, 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 guilty. So I think the people that were doing Dick's dirty work on national TV, one of them in particular, lost his major case, that Scott Peterson case. I mean, that, am I supposed to applaud that he lost it? So why do I need his advice? I don't. The others just seem like they're glomming on to.
He actually said to me on the show, very rarely does the government win circumstantial evidence cases. I said, well, what about Scott Peterson, Mark?
You said that?
Yeah, he just,
did you?
He got Bugs Bunny like this.
Oh, God.
He didn't
nice.
Answer it? The audacity of these guys. They just want to change reality so bad.
Right.
Just try.
With me, I mean, I've been on probably 15 different shows, and he never made it personal to me. There were other people that called me vulgar, uninformed, misogynistic.
What are some of the names you've been called throughout this? Like some of the things that people have said about you that end up being wrong?
Lately? Have you been called anything?
Oh, yeah. All sorts of things. I have to block, 50 people a day. I can't even think of it.
Mostly it's biased. I think that's really
bias is or just terrible journalists. They always say that.
I sent out a tweet this morning that I said, look, let's just think about Jim Griffin. He's gone through a rough time. It's not easy. The guy left it all on the floor. And somebody wrote back on the tweet and said, I can't stand you, but I do appreciate what you say. Thank you for saying it. And I wrote him back and I said, well, thank you. I appreciate your, you're entitled to your opinion. Thank you. And thanks for responding.
People are really,
that's okay. He can't stand me. That's fine. I'm okay with that.
But why even say that? Like, if you can't stand somebody, why are you tweeting to them?
We'll be right back. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. It has done wonders for our seasonal allergies. We recently started feeling the effects of spring. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, sinus congestion, and pressure with ease. Ready to live life as if you don't have any allergies? It is time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Calling all lovers of mystery. Prepare to don your detective hat in June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. Take a trip in time to the glitzy 20s and play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. The thrill is endless, with new chapters added weekly, allowing you to not only enjoy the detective adventure, but also to personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island, where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
This episode is sponsored in part by Ross & Pines. In 2023, Ross & Pines is teaming up with the Georgia Innocence Project for the retrial of the Joey Watkins case in Rome, Georgia. Ross & Pines will use scientific cell phone evidence to show that Joey could not have committed the murder he was charged with. Joey was wrongly convicted of murder in 2001, and after spending 22 years in prison, Joey's conviction was overturned, and he was released on bond. Like many wrongful convictions, his defense team is preparing for another trial to decide his fate. Joey and his attorneys believe his case may involve police cover-up and prosecutorial misconduct. Learn more about the Georgia Innocence Project and their work with Ross & Pines at GeorgiaInnocenceProject.org.
I gotta say something for us, because when Mandy and I started doing this in 2019, we've told the story before, but like, we would go out to dinner probably once a week and we would talk about this case, the boat crash case, and we would come up with things would lead us in weird directions, and we'd be like, does this look like this or does that look like that? And there were always these preposterous situations, and they always turned out to be true. And we would say personally to each other, like, how are we always right about this? And like, gloating is not good for people. Like, I know that's not a good look, but there is a feeling I have right now where it's just like, once again, like, this is like the biggest of like
gloat. Not a gloat. It's like proud. It's
just like all like, it just felt like we're crazy at times, you know?
Right.
It's
just like, yeah.
You worked hard. You girls worked hard.
And the gaslighting and the amount of people that said, and in different ways, like people that didn't even mean to work against us, I feel like,
yeah,
would be, I don't know.
But aiding the cause of the Murdochs. Way.
I mean, the amount of people who told me, I'm worried about you, I think you need to stop investigating that family.
That's definitely.
I've got 100 of those.
I was going to gloat because I had one attorney who's got a pretty national name. I don't know about their reputation, but a national name. And that person just made it very personal every time I was on TV. Like, you don't know anything about criminal law. It's like, well, you know, I tried one murder case and I lost it, so I know I don't ever want to try another murder case again. And I've had some bank fraud cases. But admittedly, I said I don't have the criminal experience. But I am knee-deep in this family, and I'm knee-deep in this story, and I really see it. And that person was 100% wrong. And I had all my followers and all my friends saying, you get on TV and you drill that person and you kill that person on the internet, And I just didn't want to do it. There was a part of me that really wanted to do it, to stuff it down the throat.
It's never worth it.
So speaking of petty things, though, was there any moment where you felt petty in any of this? Like, I maybe...
This morning, I said... this morning. I tweeted...
As recent as...
I tweeted, like, good morning, how are all of the... But there's reasonable doubt people doing today. Because I got so sick of hearing that. Like, but there's reasonable doubt, but there's reasonable doubt. And the doubts that they had were not reasonable.
Yeah.
They were just crazy. What were yours?
I almost went over today when Alec was leaving the courtroom. It occurred to me that I should hustle over there so that I could wave at him. It's terrible, and I don't like admitting that, but there was a piece in me that just wanted, like, there's this movie called Dick that I love, and I know that it sounds like something it isn't. It's about the Woodward and Bernstein,
right.
And it has these 15-year-old girls who end up being the ones that are at the
deep throat.
That's right. They're deep throat. So
Dick and Deep Throat.
Yes.
What are we talking about here?
It's a really funny movie.
It's Dick Nixon.
Yes, like, it's Dick Nixon. But it reminds me a little of Mandy Me. There's some of that vibe. Silly and funny. Yeah. But at the very end, you see them like cutting an American flag, which is illegal probably, but they make an outfit and then they're standing on the like back porch of their house and you don't know what they're doing, and then you realize that they have a sign that they've made and they're dressed like, you know, patriotically, and they're waving up the sky at the helicopter of Dick Nixon being flown away from the White House for the last time. And that was me in that moment.
When he does this, yeah. The two-finger peace sign.
Right, and the girls are like...
You don't have Dick Nixon to push around anymore.
And so their sign said, "You suck, Dick." And they had a big sign, because his name is Dick. So
we
I'm sorry. Yes,
today.
We should
that
have. Yeah, it's the comma. It's the comma that saves you. So we're saying it with a comma. But, I would like to be outside of where the Sallyport, where, you know, Alec is. I wanted to just wave at him and just smile.
Well, I sent this tweet out, and I shouldn't have, but it's gotten 131 comments, and it's been viewed 83,000 times. I showed the picture of him in the cuffs, and I said, "Karma is a you-know-what. Justice won. I'm going to send Alec a cup of Justice coffee cup. EB.
Today, I really wanted to bring dog bowls to the press conference and toss them out like Frisbees because I have them.
I really wish you had. I really do.
Because Dick called.
I'll send Dick a cup of Justice coffee cup and say one for you, one for
Alex. I
want to
send him a dog bowl.
I'm sure it'll come back broken, but.
I can just see him with his fist in the air being like, "You daggone it, kids." <He's> like,
But yeah, I mean, to wrap this up, something I keep forgetting to say, but like when we think of how powerful this was, it really, really hit me last night seeing a bunch of people online saying things like, a lot of people were saying America was so prepared for not guilty or
hung jury, not guilty.
No, but because think of the biggest cases. Casey right. Anthony, OJ were both
right.
not guilty.
She's right. She's a scholar on OJ. So.
I'm not OJ, and I will be as Casey Anthony.
Was Phil Spector a guilty case? The record guy? And Beretta, remember Robert Blake, he committed a murder. Was that a guilty? I think so.
Those are like the lesser OJ cases.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think of that... It's so big to have, I think about the future, right, all the time. And I, like with that moment on our state and Alan Wilson and all those lawyers beaming, I was just thinking about, like, think of all those kids in law school right
yes,
now.
Yes,
That are deciding in which direction they want to go.
Right.
And like,
a couple kids asked me here, they're going to go to law school because of it.
I've seen that online so many times of people saying, like, I saw a girl the other day that says, "I'm studying for my LSATs right now because I want to destroy people like Dick Harpootlian." Like, and I want to be the anti-Dick Harpootlian.
I love that.
And it just makes me, that gives me so much hope and inspiration and like keeps me want to keep going
yeah,
and doing this.
Same.
And for us younger journalists that know that, I think with all of this, and of course at times it felt like we were running our heads into brick walls and never able to see an end or a conclusion or anything whatsoever. And everybody was like, "What are those crazy people doing?" I think it's just really, really good for that moment for America, for the whole freaking world to see all of these people, good people winning, and that you can choose these careers and go mm-hmm. down these paths and do the right thing and you can win.
Well, let's win for Stephen Smith in the years to come. Let's take a little focus off, and this is the lawyer coming out of me. Let's not make Dick and Jim the capital B boogeymen. Let's make them a small... Let's put it on Alex where it belongs.
No,
really.
I fully support it.
It's care. Alex.
I mean, Dick could do better, but Jim, yeah.
How did everybody move forward? Because remember, the world has stopped for six weeks. I mean, it stopped.
I would say be pesky is the new thing. I really think that people should be pesky because that's what
you're gonna get
brought us
pesky,
to this point.
But it's a good thing.
So many people have come up to us and just, like, reporters here are just saying, like, you guys did this. Like, you made this happen. We're here because of you. And it is... There's a reverse to that too, is that we needed them to be here. So I cry so much. But yeah, it's like we needed them to be here too, and like
to validate the whole thing too. Because otherwise it would have just been Liz and Mandy and their crazy little adventures.
Yeah.
And and it's very true. And I think that
it's just so doable. It's just
it
be pesky, and maybe there will be change like this. I mean, we got way more than we thought we could. Just so far.
Okay, so what now? You guys are done. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We're done. I sent out a...
No one says that to me.
Yeah, but
no one says that to Mandy.
I sent out a tweet on Monday, guys. I said, look, we're not one-trick ponies. You know, we've been talking about this for 4 months, the transition. And I said, what we're going to do is there's still a ton of Murdoch to come. There's post-trial motions. There's Russell's sentencing. Corey Fleming's trial's got to get set and scheduled. You just heard Judge Newman say, I'm going to put my foot on his throat and I'm going to schedule these financial crime cases. Creighton just told me Satterfield's coming up. We have so much more that are coming. You know, there's a changing of the guard at the ODC. John Nichols is retired, so there's going to be a new Office of Disciplinary Counsel person. We're going to see how far those investigations go. Is Judge Mullen being investigated? But the other thing that's really neat is we're going to expand the Cup of Justice to bring in the Dr. Kinseys, bring in potentially a Mark Tinsley, ask a super, super fan that's super, super.
Why do you say potentially Mark? We can get Mark.
Yeah, but he may not do it before the trial.
Oh, sure. That's right.
You know, a super, super well-known fan like a Sheryl Crow, possibly if God says we could get her. But we're gonna have a part where the fans are gonna have a little bit more input, like we started, and we're gonna have a guest. So maybe
the show is gonna evolve with our peskiness.
Yeah, it just depends on.
Like,
I mean,
one of the things I said to David was, you know, the Doomsday trial that's coming up, in which is very interesting. So there's trials that are starting that are going to be interesting to report on.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And you know. What's going to happen to MMP? I see a crime and corruption sign. Where did crime and... What does that mean? What's going to happen, Mandy?
I think just stay tuned. Hello.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Kurt.
That's okay. Mr. Groves, how are you, sir?
Nothing. I was just going to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You guys did great.
When did you sleep?
I will tomorrow.
He was helping out at the party the other night.
I know.
Need some rest, man.
Yeah.
We appreciate everything. We really do.
I am. That's good. Well, I'm sorry to crash.
Excellent. No.
No, you're
thank
fine.
You.
No, it's been fun. But before everybody left, I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
That's very
thank
kind.
You.
Thank you for your hospitality.
Thank you.
It was above and beyond, Scott.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. Thank you.
Can we include that on the show, Scott?
Sure.
All right.
Nice and natural.
Take care.
See ya.
Putting the cubs down.
Cubs down.
Cubs down. We did it.
This Cup of Justice episode is created and hosted by me, Mandy Matney, with co-host Liz Farrell, our executive editor, and Eric Bland, attorney at law, a.k.a. the Jackhammer of Justice.
From Luna Shark Productions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.